Let's go, boys. Here's the
greatest audio moment
we've all been waiting for. Maestro, if you please.
Figure4Online.com/WrestlingObserver.com. The best of 2017. But yes, Ryan is on the line, and I know he's calling to gloat today. It's a rare day he has the opportunity to do that. So, Ryan, you're on the air. What's going on? Hey, Ryan.
Never sounded better.
My God, all that time. This is his opportunity to gloat. And he's just chilling out.
Move on.
All right. Sorry, buddy. Maybe next time. You know what? He doesn't need to call today. I'll just spoil it. Ryan predicted that Mayweather was going to finish him. I thought it was going to be a decision. So, what? Ryan, you win this battle. Congratulations.
Oh, heavens. Well, D, are you going to shove 10 bucks down his
throat, Paul?
Hey, you know what? If I had the opportunity to super kick Ryan and shove 10 bucks down your throat, you're telling me I should not take that opportunity?
Actually, well, you don't actually have to give him any money. If you want to super kick him, you can. You owed the money to Tom. He didn't deserve the super kick. He deserved the money, mostly in his hand, not his mouth, but that's for a different day.
And we are going to head to the phones. Let's go to Richard. You're on the air. What's going on? Richard?
Gone. Move on.
Actually, this is Bradley.
It's Bradley. Bradley, what's up?
My question is about Floyd Mayweather.
This isn't Bradley. This is Ryan. What do you want, Ryan?
Why would Floyd?
It's Bradley.
No, this is definitely Ryan. Go ahead.
Why was Floyd turning his head during the fight? Was it the shibit? Because I noticed one of the other fighters was putting his hands down while he was fighting.
Ryan, why are you calling in with a fake name today? What's going on?
This is Ryan's older brother, Bradley.
I see. His older brother, Bradley.
Ah.
Bradley, where's Ryan? Because he called earlier, but then hung up.
I don't think he...
That guy pisses me off.
Oh.
He didn't know where he's at.
Did he? Huh. Did he lose money on the fight last night? Maybe he had some bad wings. Because he did call the show yesterday on Saturday and said he was going out in downtown Cumberland to watch the fight. So maybe he had a rough night last night.
Yeah. Was he gloating to you about
the bad ginger ale?
Well, was he gloating to you about how he predicted that Mayweather was going to finish McGregor and I said it would be a draw? I mean, was that why he was calling today?
He did brag that he predicted the winner of the fight, but he didn't mention anything about Brian Alvarez.
Oh, how about that? All right, Bradley, I want to thank you very much for the call here today. Really appreciate it. Let's go to Jim, who never lets me down. Jim, you're on the air.
This is Jeff from Virginia. How are you doing today, Brian?
I'm doing pretty good, but the last two times you've called, your phone has been really terrible. Are you on a cell phone?
Yeah.
Yeah, you may need to find some place with better service.
Well, like I said, I can hear you guys fine.
Okay, well, we need to hear you because it's a national radio show. But do your best here. Do your best. Let's go to Kirk in Pennsylvania. Kirk, you're on the air. What's going on? Kirk, hello.
Hi, this is Kirk.
Cool. What's going on?
How did the Vegas lawmakers know that Mayweather would knock out McGregor in the 10th round?
Okay.
And why was Mayweather placing bets on the 10th round?
Well, thank you very much for the call. That is true. Floyd Mayweather did bet that he would knock out Connor in the 10th round, and then he did. So we got people who are trying to tell me that caller, Kirk, from Pennsylvania, was Ryan in Cumberland. And I didn't hear that, but maybe it was. I'm going to have to go back and listen. Find out if I need to lay down the hammer on that numbskull.
Well, it may be a cousin, you know, that's very close to Cumberland. So
sure, yeah.
That part of Pennsylvania that call came from.
God, we got a lot of these. I bet that caller yelling about Mayweather was Ryan, this person said. How many fake names is Ryan going to call under? He's killing his gimmick, this person says. And there was one more as well. People not trusting.
There was, and there was a long way to go downhill with Ryan's gimmick, too.
That is true. To the phones, you're on the air. What's up?
This is Mickey from Cincinnati.
All righty. Let's go to the phones. You're on the air. What's going on?
Yep.
I should have let him go on. I know who that was now. Oh, well. Listen, Ryan, why don't you just call in? Like, why? What's with the fake gimmick names and all of this stuff? Just call in and ask your question.
Now he's doing a high-pitched Eric from Pennsylvania gimmick. That's interesting.
Let's go to the phones.
I'm Cumberland, Maryland. My question is...
Ryan, I hadn't picked you up yet. I was talking. I didn't even know it was you on the line. I was talking, and then you started talking. Go ahead. 29. Very happy today to be joined by Chris Jericho, the author of, I believe this is now his fourth book, No is a Four-Letter Word, How I Failed in Spelling but Succeeded in Life. Chris Jericho's here on the show. Chris, how you doing?
Good, man. Just in the middle of this book tour and making the rounds, making the scene, but it's been good.
So I presume that Stupid Idiot was from that Bret Hart promo where he called Sid a big stupid dummy?
No, it wasn't. It was just like I don't need to steal catchphrases from Bret Hart, believe me. It's just something that I said when I said, you're just a bunch of stupid idiots, but say it with real dripping anger and disdain, and people would boo. Like, I remember Vince going, like, only you could get away with calling people a stupid idiot and get heat. And you're the only person that I would let say stupid idiot, because it's so immature. It's so dumb, but that's why it worked, you know? Well, the list was like, I was doing all my stuff I did with Jimmy Jacobs. He was like my writer that whole year. And we come up with stuff every week, and he's like, hey, what if you have like a list, like a shit list, where you put Mick Foley on the list, like he's in big trouble? And I think that's great. Like, you know, you're on the list. And what does that really mean? Like what's going to happen? Like, nothing. It's not like you're not going to get presents for Christmas or not get into heaven. Like, what's going to happen if you're on Chris Jericho's list? So then that kind of works. You see people coming back, and maybe somebody has a sign in the crowd the next week that says that. And then it's like, got this red clipboard and wrote the list of Jericho on marker on the back. If you go and see the first few months or so of the list, it is just a clipboard, like a duotang that you have in high school. And then the next week I decided to get a real list made, and I wanted it to be like a big thick metal thing so I could hit somebody with it and knock them out, like start using it like a gimmick. And the week that they had it made, Vince wasn't there, so I didn't have to get it in front. I just walked out with it. And then when he came back the next week, I was like, well, here's what I did last week. I actually had this list that I can hit somebody with. And now we have like this iconic list that they sell at the gimmick store, and sells like 100 lists a night, whatever it is. So, like I said, all this stuff just came organically.
28. Hey, clips from 205 Live. Now, let me get this straight. So, Cedric and Noam Dar had a match. And Cedric went for a moonsault, and Alicia yanked Noam Dar to safety, allowing right. Noam Dar to pin Cedric. Am I wrong?
That's what happened.
Okay. So now that led to nothing. Noam Dar and Alicia are not together.
Well, you got to remember that when Alicia Fox pulled Noam Dar out of the way, she didn't know what she was doing because she's insane. You got to remember that
that's the storyline.
Yeah. Like, she didn't want to do it. She had this temporary fit of insanity. And then Cedric broke up with her, and she had another fit of insanity. And later in the show tonight, in the middle of her interview, she had another fit of insanity. So the girls.
So this is built around a fit of insanity. Multiple fits of insanity.
The girls hot and whacked. That's what we got here. And I guess Cedric doesn't need that drama in his life. And Noam Dar, I guess he wants that drama. But she doesn't want him, so I think that's where we're at right now.
Well, now that you've explained the fits of insanity, I can accept this.
And now she doesn't realize that because she's so whacked that Cedric just doesn't want to be around her. She hasn't like figured out that part of it. You know what I mean? It's like
you've explained this way too well.
Yeah, so when she went in the ring, like, and everything like that, and she's trying to help him and trying to explain, she doesn't realize that she's been dumped. She has no concept she's been dumped. and he's just dumped her and trying to move on, and she's the psycho girl that won't, you know, that just doesn't realize any of this. So that's the story.
You need to do a Dr. Phil style show.
Okay.
That made this all...
I had no problem with any of this. I mean, I know about psycho women. I've got a lot of experience in this.
So anyway, Alexander made a comeback, big elbow, kick to the head, lariat for a near fall. As noted, he gets put in the captain's hook and Alicia comes out.
I'm dead, huh?
No, of course not. I'm moving on as quickly as possible. Alicia runs out, basically.
Someone's gonna get a tape of this, and I'm dead.
Crowd's dead for all of this. Speaking of dead.
27.
All right, Granny, well, anything else?
Nope, I'm dead.
All right, we'll talk to you next week.
Are you going to do After Dark?
Next week, Granny. It's a holiday.
Oh, so you're not on tonight.
No, we're not on tonight.
Okay.
But there's a new Dragon King Dark with Carl Stern that'll be on.
I don't like that one. Sorry.
I'm hanging up on you now, Granny.
I just like you, Brian.
Okay, thank you, Granny. I love you, too.
Okay. Happy New Year, Vinny.
Happy New Year, Granny.
Happy New Year. Okay.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Holy Lord.
She's on a roll.
She's in rare form.
Every week.
Cool. All right, Granny, anything else? Vinny's falling asleep over there. Entertain him.
Oh, too bad, Vinny.
Sorry, Granny.
Yeah, Vinny, wake the hell up.
I tell you what, I'm going to sleep, too, because I took an early nap, and I'm pretty tired right now. So let's both start snoring.
What are you doing over there?
Looking at various pictures of old-time wrestlers.
Jiminy Christmas.
Okay, I'll leave.
You see that? Gallagher?
What?
Can someone besides me communicate on this show?
Granny, thank you for doing the wrestling report. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, I guess. If you say so.
I tried.
How in the world did you do Locked on Seahawks? Is it still going?
Yes.
I listen to that once in a while, Vinny.
Thank you, Granny.
You like it better than Carl's show, Granny?
Oh, I was going to tell you about that. I didn't mean any disrespect to him. You know, I'm sorry if I've hurt his feelings because he put something on the board. But I didn't mean that I didn't like his show. I'm just saying that I usually don't watch any show unless you're in it, Brian.
Thank you, Granny.
Yeah, so that's why. But I didn't want to make him feel bad.
Well, too late.
Well, now I'm apologizing to him.
Okay, Granny. Maybe you could contact him and apologize.
Well, I tried on the board, but I couldn't work it, so.
Yeah.
Anyway, goodbye, guys.
Bye, right. Granny.
Bye, Granny.
Bye-bye.
See you next week. Stay warm in this horrible weather.
Oh, I'm doing great.
Okay.
Okay.
Bye-bye. Now I got to go on the board and find out what Carl had to say about Granny. About how disrespected he was. I don't blame him.
Didn't she just say she didn't listen to a show?
I think she said she didn't like it originally.
Hmm.
I don't think she meant that. Maybe she did. Can you believe it? Yeah, so it looks like Carl is just confused as to why Granny turned on him. He wants to know if he's a heel or a face. And he believes he's supposed to be the heel. In this situation, Carl's definitely the baby face, and Granny was the heel. She treated him like Jack Gallagher. But now Granny has apologized. Now we can move on with this show. I feel better. Everybody has apologized to everybody else.
Okay.
26.
Speaking of legal problems, Johnny Canine passed away today.
That's right.
Yesterday, actually. Bruiser Bedlam. I remember... So he was around. He was, you know, WWE television jobber in the 80s. You know, regular, you know, especially when they taped in Canada. He was from, he was from Ontario. I don't remember what city. Sudbury was the city that he tried to blow up the police station. I think he might have been Hamilton, a Hamilton area guy. But that guy, I remember once when he had one of his multitude of arrests. And I remember, like, I talked to the local police about him. And it was just like, Canine, you know, it's just like this guy was like, you know, he tried to He didn't try. I shouldn't say he tried to blow a police station. He bombed a police station. He did it. It wasn't like he had a plan to do it. He actually wanted to bomb a strip club, but because they kicked him and his buddies out one night. But the police came, and so instead of bombing the strip club, he decided to bomb the police station, which was a really bright move because that'll land you in jail. So this guy, when he was in between jail stints,
I'm pretty sure the blowing up a strip club is going to land you in jail too.
Which would you rather do? Which would you rather?
Both of them are very, very bad ideas. The police station is worse.
Okay, he didn't always have the best judgment when it came to where what he was going to blow up. But when he was between his arrests, you know, he would do pro wrestling, and he was like a Tank Abbott kind of guy. Well, I shouldn't say that, but kinda. I mean, he could bench like 600 pounds, 625 pounds, something like that. I mean, I remember on Smoky Mountain TV, I don't remember if it was actually 600 or like 550 or whatever, 585. But there was like they did a film of him doing a bench press, and I think it was six. Pretty sure it was six. It was like, you know, the guy was real strong, and Cornette named him Bruiser Bedlam when he brought him to Smoky Mountain Wrestling because he reminded him of Dick the Bruiser, and he tried to push him like he was Dick the Bruiser, but he didn't have Dick's charisma at all. Just a guy who was, you know, I mean, every couple of years he was getting arrested. He'd get out. He was, you know, he was a mob. He was a mob enforcer. He was a collections guy where, you know, like if somebody owed the mob a debt, they'd send K-9 out to get him. And K-9 said he didn't really actually beat up that many guys, hardly anyone, because they usually just paid. But, you know, he got in his fights and he got in his, you know, I mean, there's a whole litany of frickin' arrests of that guy. I mean, when people did the, sorry stuff and all that, it's like, man, there's a limit. You know what I mean? It's like, I don't know that he was certainly involved allegations of, you know, different killings and things like that. I don't know if he ever actually killed anyone, but, came close, and I remember one gang tried to kill him, and he was trying to shoot some gang members, and it's just insane. But like, I mean, you know, it was funny because when he died, the big shock was, you know, he was in a halfway house, and I think in British Columbia. But when he died, this big shock yesterday is that he died of natural causes. You know, his respiratory failure, I believe, was the problem. He got really, really sick because everybody figured for sure someone's going to shoot this guy, you know, whether it would be the police or another gang or something, because this guy was always in trouble. You know, it's saying something about the criminal justice system that a guy like that, you know, would, you know, constantly get his 2 and 3 year terms and get out. I mean, after a while, don't you just go like, he ain't going to get reformed, and he's just causing like all kinds of problems to society every time he's out. But yeah, I mean, he was, you know, I mean, I guess when he was pro wrestler, a lot of the guys, you know, liked him. He was a character, you know. I remember the story where he drove from Ontario to Tennessee, you know, with his, you know, I forgot, like in his car, and I forgot, you know, the sun with a sunroof down, getting sunburned the whole way, and all these crazy stories about him in Smoky Mountain Wrestling. And I didn't really hear much about him in WWE. He was just a guy who came in, did jobs, and that was about it. 25.
And of course, the real big news is the fuck up by these dipshits, the Oscars.
As we're recording this, literally like 10 minutes ago, I was away from Twitter for like 2 minutes, and I looked back and I had 80 tweets. What the hell just happened?
Well, what happened was they screwed up. Moonlight walked away with the Best Picture honors at the end of Sunday night's Oscars ceremony. Warren Beatty and Faye Dunaway were given the Best Actress Award envelope. A confused Beatty saw Emma Stone's name in La La Land and announced the musical as the Best Picture. The cast took the stage, producers began their speeches, but they stopped midway when they realized their error. Can you imagine?
I just watched a clip of it before you hit record, and it's how?
Well, listen, I haven't seen it yet. All I know is I was watching the Oscars. I was only watching them briefly on and off. I don't watch this kind of bullshit. This worked. This fake news.
Apparently it is.
But I got to say, I'm watching it, and there's all these celebrities out there. And listen, there's a lot of celebrities that are getting old. I'm not going to mention any names. But man, I looked around as the monologue was taking place there at the beginning. And boy, were there some blank faces. Like a bunch of old people that didn't seem to have any idea where they were. Mm-hmm. But they're out there, trotted out in front of the camera, and they're smiling. That's how shit like this happens. I don't want to put the blame on Warren Beatty, but he fucked the whole thing up. Now, the reason I even bother bringing this up, besides that it seems so much like a pro wrestling angle, is they're already working on some sort of angle for Raw.
Oh, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Literally immediately, everybody was texting each other, coming up with ideas. So you will see something resembling this, or at least they'll be making fun of them or something tomorrow on Raw. That's the big news, everybody. You'll be hearing about it. Fuck's sake, I heard about it. If I hear about something in the mainstream, you're all going to hear about it.
Yeah, I just looked it up, and there's like 8 movies nominated for Best Picture. I didn't see any of them, so I only hear about this when something crazy happens.
Lots of stuff to talk about here today on the show, including the finish of the Oscars, if you want to call it that, which Dave didn't see because he was at the movies.
I was actually at La La Land, believe it or not. That was
the movie. Really?
Yeah. Yeah. My son wanted to see it, so we went to see it. And right when it was over, like just a few minutes after it was over, he goes, hey, in fact, it was actually right after it was over. He just goes, La La Land just won the Oscar for Best Picture. Because my son's super, super into movies. You know, he's like doing film classes and things like that. And I go, really? And then we went to a restaurant, and on the screen it said Moonlight won the Oscar. So it's like I knew something was up, and I got a text from somebody immediately who just goes, they did the dusty finish in the Oscars. And it's like, oh my goodness. Wow. It was actually from somebody at Live Audio Wrestling. It says, like, can you believe they did the dusty finish at the Oscars?
Well, they did in fact announce that La La Land had won the Oscar.
So how did this happen?
They just announced it, and then I guess Warren Beatty's looking at the paper, and
wasn't it like Faye Dunaway?
No, it was Warren. I mean, she was up there, I think. But anyway, the point of it is, I don't know how they screwed it up, but they made the announcement, and everybody from La La Land starts coming up, and they're doing their acceptance speech, and then there's the big announcement that it was a mistake. The winner was actually Moonlight.
Yeah, so from what I understand, the people who put the envelopes in put the wrong envelope in, and it was for the Emma Stone envelope that they put in the last one, and that was the screw up.
Well, one way or the other, are you gonna be hearing about it on Raw tonight? It's pretty much a guarantee.
Yeah, I can't imagine you wouldn't. Yeah. That's interesting. 24.
Hello, everybody. It's Figure Four Daily, May 3rd, 2017. Figure4online.com/WrestlingObserver.com here in a hotel with filthy Tom Lawler in Vegas.
That's right. Breaking news audio.
That's right. A breaking news audio for...
Big news. Brian Alvarez just verbally assaulted sexually in the elevator here at the Gold Coast.
I have had the craziest trip down here.
Tell me.
I sat next to a dancer on the airplane. And over the course of 2 hours, I heard every horrific strip club story you could ever be told in your life. Things that will scar me. Things that would scar you, filthy.
I seriously doubt that.
Then you picked me up and we went to eat at Fat or Filthy. What the hell was it called?
That was the name of it. Fat or Filthy.
Yeah.
Skinny Fats.
Skinny Fats. We went to eat at Skinny Fats, run by a bunch of indie workers. And then we came here. Where, in fact, in the elevator, some lady who was probably 60.
She was also, much like Becky Lynch, a contemporary of the Fabulous Moolah and Mae Young. She looked very reminiscent of Bob Ross, the painter. That's what I would say she looked most likely or most closely resembled.
She said to me, "What floor are you on?" I thought she worked here. I seriously thought that she worked here.
I just thought she was drunk.
And I said, "6." And she said, "6 or sex?" And I said, "6." And then she said, "Well, sex is better." And she fucking howled.
Yeah.
And then we had a very awkward ride up the elevator. And then she got out on the third floor, and we were out of there.
I'm not so sure she was telling the truth. I mean, it does depend on the participants involved.
That is true.
So,
that is true.
Who knows?
Man, what a day so far.
Yeah.
23.
But I will go to the phones. You're on the air. What's up?
This is Jim from Virginia.
Hello.
Hello. It got a little bit more different last night when you had Becky Lynch taking on La Luchadora when you got they did the old Bella Twins deal, and you got the champion coming out with one of the La Luchadoras.
That's right,
Alexa Bliss.
Yep.
What then? Now I'm pretty sure Deonna Purrazzo was in the match.
She was the other one, but that's not necessarily who the final unmasking will be. I'm hoping that the La Luchadora unmasks ultimately as Becky Lynch.
Becky pulls the mask off herself or something like that. Like this is a Scooby-Doo episode.
Well, something's got to happen, and La Luchadora's got to be somewhere, and she gets unmasked, and it's Becky. They did that once in WCW where there was a mystery man that attacked Rick Steiner, and then like 2 weeks later the mystery man unmasked and it was Rick Steiner. It's like the stupidest thing you've ever seen.
WCW.
It's pro wrestling, dude.
Well, as long as it doesn't go as long as the Black Scorpion.
It won't, Jim. I promise.
I hope so.
I hope La Luchadora is Ole Anderson.
God.
When I look back at those old NWA shows and I look at the shirts that Ole Anderson wore, they're about on the same par as the La Luchadora outfit, so it's possible.
I am great.
Yeah.
What do you think about the segment with Nikki and Natalya?
Dude, I don't mean to be so mean, but Nikki is the worst babyface. Like, they are unable to promote baby faces. It's impossible for them. Like, she's so unlikable in this role. And she's sitting there and, listen, I know that Nikki Bella has accomplished a lot, but, I mean, obviously, she's where she is because of what she looks like and who she's dating. And, I mean, it's just a fact. I mean, I'm not saying she has no talent otherwise, but it's ridiculous to deny that. And so she comes on there and denies that. And then she's got to talk about how, well, Natalya, you're only here because of your family. It's like, this is just cringeworthy to me. It's just horrendous. And then the whole segment ends, and this is not her fault. This is just their fault. Nikki Bella is talking about how it's not about her looks, it's not about who she's dating, it's all about her talent in the ring. They do this segment, and as she's walking backstage, I mean, they literally are zooming in right on her cleavage as she walks up the ramp. It's like, come on, people. That's hard. Jiminy Christmas.
Hard to miss,
well, maybe,
you know?
I just thought, you know, Natalya, you know, her heel promos have been real good.
She's a very good heel.
But and then talking about her, she paid her dues. I mean, she's even wrestled in Shimmer, Natalya has.
That's paying your dues, right, Jim? Well, thank you very much for the call. I'm sorry, Jim. We gotta get going here. There's a million things we gotta talk about here today.
So we had Becky Lynch versus La Luchadora, and Becky Lynch started off with some double legs and grounded pound to the stomach. La Luchadora powdered outside, scurried under the ring, only to reemerge a few inches shorter and with an amazing ass.
Dude, that was the first thing I noticed. I was like, dude, that's Alexa.
Yeah.
No, that ass anywhere.
She missed a sparkle splash, submitted to the disarmer. Becky then unmasks this version of La Luchadora. It is indeed Alexa Bliss. The other La Luchadora enters the fray, and they double-team Becky and leave her laying after Alexa DDTs her.
This match was not very good. And there was absolutely zero heat until Alexa showed up in her tights.
22.
So did you watch Talking Smack yet for this week?
No, I didn't watch Talking Smack for this week.
Okay.
No one told me to.
No one told me to either, but did Daniel Bryan unfire AJ Styles on Talking Smack?
I don't know, because when on the website they moved him to the alumni section, so I thought that was continuing the storyline.
I did as well, but somebody had texted me and said that Daniel Bryan unfired him. Anyway, whatever the situation is, we're going to find out next week, because SmackDown went off the air in some markets without an announcement, but in many markets, they actually saw Shane McMahon at the very end of the show, except the match.
Shane McMahon said that AJ Styles has an opponent at WrestleMania, and then it flashed to Todd Chrisley.
Yeah.
So I guess that Todd and AJ are going to be wrestling at WrestleMania, yeah.
Could be, yeah. So if we presume that they're going to do Shane AJ, which of course they are.
I thought it was Todd Chrisley.
That begs the very important question here. So
it's good cross promotion.
It would be good cross promotion.
They didn't get Shaq.
Might be a better match.
21.
Okay, here we go. Rock and Roll Express versus Ivan Koloff and Vladimir Petrov from Hollywood, Florida. Dolph Ziggler's worked hometown.
You, fucker, told me that this was going to be the best match on the show. And I told you that you were going to be wrong. Would you like to tell the world how right I was?
You were 100% right.
This fucking Vladimir Petrov, he's in a match with Ivan Koloff as his partner, a man who should be a Hall of Famer, one of the great babyface tag teams of all time,
yes,
who are Hall of Famers. He could not have a good match.
No, it was absolutely impossible. And by the end, it was very clear everyone involved knew it was absolutely impossible. And so the Rock and Roll Express just stopped trying. Like, they, even with Ivan whipped Gibson in. They got the heat on Gibson, by the way. It's a strange thing for the Rock and Roll Express. But whip him in, hit a back elbow. And rather than, like, you know, go flying with your feet fly out from under you and you throw your arms back, Gibson would just stop running and just drop to his back. Man, fuck this, he says. I'm done. So let's count the ways Vladimir Petrov screwed this matchup. First, he screwed up a bear hug.
That's tough.
Do you know, I assume, I'm not a father, but I've been around babies in my life. Don't babies come out of the womb knowing how to hug people?
You would be amazed at the things that babies know how to do that people forget how to do when they get older.
All right. Vladimir Petrov forgot how to do a bear hug. The match went on. Ivan attempted to tag Petrov in, then hold Gibson so Petrov could hit him. This was too much for Petrov to handle. All three men had to struggle to cover it up, and they failed. Then, here is why Vladimir Petrov is, for sure, the worst wrestler I've ever seen now. The last time we talked about him, I mentioned that he did a backbreaker where he attempted to drop his opponent over both legs. I don't think I made it clear how ridiculous this was. Everyone grab something that's around you right now. A pillow, a broom, anything, just anything you can carry. Now, hold it out in front of you and try to drop it across both legs at the same time. You're probably going to fall down.
I got a better one. Mm-hmm. Everybody stand up and kneel. Now, kneel without putting either knee on the ground.
Yeah.
That's what he's trying to do here.
Basically. So, the fact that he did this one time was horrible. But I figured afterwards, they say, hey, Vladimir, come here. Here's how you do that backbreaker. And they show him how to do it the right time. Well, either no one bothered or he never learned, because he did it again here. I could not believe my eyes when I saw him do the double leg backbreaker a second time. There was a spot where they tried to get Petrov to take the ref so they could do like a false tag. It got fucked up to such an epic degree that Ricky Morton came in, gave Ivan a hug, and walked back out. And after all of this, like 15 minutes of just utter pure shit, Petrov hits Morton with a chain for the DQ.
Not only did people pay for this, people watched this, they thought it was real. I don't like to make fun of the fans. I always argue that promoters are actually the stupid ones because they assume that the fans are stupid. But let me tell you something. If there was any fan that thought this was real, that was a stupid fan. This was so unbelievably unrealistic and horrible. At the end, Vladimir Pietrov and Ivan get the chain, and they're going to do a double clothesline on, I think, Ricky. I'm pretty sure that Pietrov thought it was real, because Ivan, as they go for the double clothesline with the chain, Ivan kind of loosens it up as they go through the guy to kind of give some give to the chain.
Sure.
Not Pietrov. He slashes that chain through that guy's neck. And Ivan looks at him like, dude, let go. The fuck are you doing? I would give, I'll even say $1 million, because I don't believe that it is possible for me to lose this money. I'll give $1 million for, I'll give a high number, 30 hours of footage of Pietrov and Ivan Koloff in a car together. And Ivan trying desperately to help this fucker figure this business out. Because you know he did. You know they had to travel together, and Ivan had to sit down with this guy and try to turn him into a wrestler and tell him about the business and psychology and stories. I can only imagine.
So, having reflected on this now for about an hour, really, I can't, in all honesty, say this was the worst match I ever saw.
Oh, no.
Charmel and Jenna was worse than this. Sheik and Volkov versus the Bushwhackers was worse than this. But that was, the first one was a manager and a reality TV show star. The other was four retired dudes. This is theoretically four full-time wrestlers. I'm not sure I've ever seen a worse match with full-time guys. That's possible.
But it was all Pietrov. Well, the Rock
it was 98% Pietrov. The Rock and Roll Express quit halfway during this match, and I don't blame them.
And Ivan was trying to teach in the middle of the
match. Ivan just kept going. What the fuck ever? We're here. May as well follow through. This was awful. It was for sure the worst Rock and Roll Express match of all time. How's that? 20. Danny Faulkner asks, hi, Granny, how would you deal with a bar fight if family was present? Then adds, I'm literally about to witness one and need guidance. Now, this is from 6 hours ago, so I hope things haven't, I hope this question is still relevant.
Wow, we used to have quite a few of those years ago, and there was even a gun involved.
But things are much worse now.
Oh, yeah, things are terrible here in 2017, but she had a bar fight with a gun 20 years ago.
Well, this guy had a gun and he shot right between my legs into the floor.
What?
Wait a second. We've been doing this damn show for 10 years and you've never told the story about someone shooting a gun into the floor between your legs? What are you talking about?
It was my brother-in-law. Those guys were very reckless.
And they got a bar fight and they shot a bullet between your legs.
Yeah. The two brothers... Every time we'd get together, the two brothers, they were kind of half-brothers, they'd get into a fight every single time. And I can't remember exactly. I know it was in my mother-in-law's kitchen. And I don't know how it happened, but he came in there and bullet went off between my leg feet.
God. Huh. He just came in there shooting.
And your grandpa one time had a gun and it went off and went through the dresser.
Great. Wow, yeah. Things are way worse now here at the Alvarez Easter
and my
party,
sister, my sister-in-law was mad at my brother-in-law, and she had a gun and was going to shoot him. So we had some fun.
I'm now picturing Granny in an NWA video, and I don't mean National Wrestling Alliance. Okay.
All righty. All right, Granny, well, now we need to do the wrestling report. Noel, did you happen to watch 205 Live?
I did not.
No, I didn't either. So it looks like Granny's the only one that watched this match. Tell us, Granny, about this.
Well, it's kind of mixed up here because I've got NXT, April the 12th. It's two gals, Ruby Riott.
Yep.
And Kimberly Frankel, I think it was, and she's from Seattle.
That's what they claimed.
Yeah. and they were wrestling back and forth, and Nikki came out, and she was standing outside the ring watching them and having a big grin on her face. And it was a pretty short match because Ruby was in control through the whole thing and kicked Kimberly in the face and won the match. I gave that a 4.
4?
Yeah. Is that good or bad?
Well, it's slightly below average, so I guess it's bad.
It's your opinion, Granny, so.
Okay, and the next one, I'm not sure who the second guy was because I never got his name. Swan versus, is there a guy named Oso?
Oso?
Johnny Oso?
Uso.
John Uso?
Is there an Uso?
On 205 Live?
I'm not sure which one this was in.
No, do you have any idea who she's talking about?
Not a clue.
Oh, so. Okay, well, anyway, what happened?
Anyway, Swan came out and said, oh, the guy that has the girlfriend, Alicia, what was his name?
Oh, God, I haven't even followed that.
Noam Dar, wasn't it?
Well, Noam Dar was, but then it was somebody else. She's been around the block.
Yeah, okay, anyway,
well,
Swan
that's the story
came
line.
Out. If you can figure out who the guy was, let me know, because okay. It's Alicia's boyfriend, her new boyfriend.
Cedric Alexander?
That's probably him.
I think it's Cedric Alexander.
Is Oso?
Okay. I don't know where Oso came from.
I don't either. I knew it was wrong, but I just...
You just made up a word?
No, I saw it somewhere.
Okay.
Anyway... Okay, so Swan came out, and he said all the gifts that Alicia got were from him. And so they start their fighting, and Swan hits, I forgot his name, what was it again?
Cedric.
Okay, Swan hits Cedric, he hit his head in the corner.
Is that right, Vinny? Am I right about this?
I don't even know what's going on. No, the slightest idea.
Go on the 205 Live review,
I'm looking at it right now, trying to figure out who... Cesaro?
I think it's Alexander, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, Epico?
Go on the 205 Live review, and it'll give all the match results.
Damn.
Go ahead, Granny.
Just find out who Alicia's boyfriend is.
That's right.
I'm trying.
Go ahead, Granny.
Okay. He got a submission head hold on
A submission
Alexander.
Head hold. Got it.
On Alexander. Got out
so
of
it is Alexander.
I just said that.
Oh.
And then Alexander gave Swan a big clothesline in a 2 count. Then Swan kicked him out of on the ear. Swan got up on the rope, somersaulted on Alexander. Ow.
Ow?
No. Oh, then Alexander wins the match. And then Alexia comes out, and she tells Swan that she is happy with Alexander, and she knows that he's the one that gave her the presents, and it wasn't Swan. So anyway, somebody comes out with a package and hands it to her, and she opens it up, and a bunch of powder just goes all over her. And Swan's out there walking away laughing like crazy because he pulled a trick on him.
Wow. Vinny is so frustrated right now.
I'm going to throw this thing through a window. Why is it so hard to find 205 Live results? Who was the other person in the match?
Rich Swan.
Swan.
Rich Swan.
Now Vinny's going on a pro fight DVD.
That is exactly where I am.
I do this every time to you, Vinny.
No, can you imagine you got up early for this?
Okay, according to Pro Fight DB, in the April 11th edition of 205 Live, Rich Swan wrestled Johnny Ocean. Who the fuck is Johnny Ocean?
What the fuck does that have to do with Cedric Alexander?
Uh-huh.
What the fuck's going on this show?
Well, it's that Johnny Oso. Is that... That's not Alicia's boyfriend,
no,
is it?
No! That's why I don't know what you're talking about. I'm baffled. Okay, what's the next match? Who cares? Clearly the storyline sucks.
Well, at least I didn't pick the name out of the air.
You kind of did.
Okay, next one was Perkins versus Scalper.
I mean, his name is Ocean. Like, how do you screw up the word ocean? It's a common word.
I never hardly even saw it. It came up so fast, I just wrote it down. Besides, I was tired when I got home. Okay, so it's Perkins versus Gallagher. Are you guys having fun?
No,
he's not. Go ahead.
Okay, anyway, Gallagher comes out with his usual umbrella, swinging it around, and then they get in the ring, and Perkins works on Gallagher's leg, or kind of like his knee, and twists his arm in a hammerlock. Perkins gets out, puts ankle around Gallagher's neck. I can hear my echo.
That's fine. Can we continue? Can we get this over with?
Knocks him over. Perkins stands on his head, gets out of the ring. Gallagher gets up on the rope, opens the umbrella, and Perkins just walks away like he's not coming back in unless he puts the umbrella away.
Vinny is crying right now, Granny.
Why?
He's crying. You made him cry.
It's not her fault.
I hope you're
happy. Actually not her fault. It's whoever, it's 205 Live. It's their fault. Go ahead, Granny. Perkins walked away.
Okay, Perkins came back, works on Gallagher's knee some more, and bends him way back. Gallagher gets out, gives Perkins a headbutt and a drop kick, both up on the turnbuckle, fall on their back. Perkins knocks Gallagher out for the count. Perkins wins. I gave that a 9.
A nine? Oh, well, my God.
Really, that was a pretty good match, and the two of them, they do kind of a lot of gymnastics stuff and things like that, you know, that I like that kind of stuff.
So. I think that Granny secretly thinks that Jack Gallagher is the best wrestler.
Well, he's not that bad, but he's just such a geek, though, such a wimp. He really is just a wimp.
But he has great matches.
We gotta get Granny versus Jack Gallagher booked somewhere.
We do have to do this somewhere. All right, Granny, is that it?
That's it.
Man, oh, man. Well, good work here. Good job making it over for Easter.
I'm glad I make you guys laugh and cry.
Oh, man, you made him laugh and cry. It was every emotion you could have there.
Why?
I don't know.
What did I do?
He hit his wall.
It's just frustrating trying to find the results of the show to fact check you.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
You could do that afterwards, you know.
I suppose I could.
Yeah. All right, Granny, that's it.
I don't really care.
Okay.
But you keep bringing it up, though.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, next week?
Okay. Okay.
Okay.
Bye, Granny.
Goodbye, everybody. Goodbye, your friend. I forgot his name already.
Noel. His name is Noel.
Noel.
Yeah.
Bye, Noel.
Happy
Bye,
Easter.
Bye, Granny.
Happy Easter, nice, Granny.
Nice to have met you. Happy Easter, everybody.
Okay. Happy Easters. See you the next holiday.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Ominous the way she closed.
I can still hear you.
Oh, my God. I muted the wrong channel. Sorry, Noel.
That was something.
All right, she's gone for real now. I unplugged her. I went that far this
Please
time.
Please tell me you recorded that.
Oh, hell yeah. Oh,
excellent.
Hold on. All right. And now I saved it, so for sure we didn't lose it. Holy smokes. Well, we got to follow that now.
No, don't take this personally, but I think we should stop right here.
Just give up right here?
We're not going to top that.
No, listen to me.
I will say, I did not...
No, go ahead.
I did not expect to come on and hear about your grandmother being shot at. That was a surprise.
Dude, I've been doing this for 10 years. I did not expect to come on here and hear about my granny being shot at.
19.
Alrighty here. Raw last night after SummerSlam Monday continued a string of 4 weeks in a row with the best numbers since April. Whoa. Last night's show, 3.39 million viewers, best number since April 10th Superstar Shakeup, did 3.
How'd they do in the Paisley demographic?
4.2 million. She was watching wrestling today. It was very disturbing. I was trying to watch the end of SmackDown and she was staring at the screen.
What'd she think about the rompers or whatever they're called from?
Baby. Yeah. Mike, hold down the show.
Yeah, you got what you got going on over there.
Hi, baby.
This is the best the show has sounded in years.
Well, everyone, you just witnessed history.
Far more coherent storylines and speeches than Josh Nason gave in the couple shows he co-hosted.
So, my baby, just this instant, everybody, mm-hmm. was tall enough to open the door.
Solace.
She's never been tall enough before. And she just reached up, yanked the knob, and the door opened, and she tumbled in like the Shockmaster. That's the funniest thing. And the funniest thing is she's dressed like Jeff Jarrett right now. Do you remember when he had that thing with the big, he had that blue outfit with the big wide shoulder pads? She's yes. wearing that right now. At least it's all recorded for history. That was the funniest thing I've ever seen. She just stumbled in here, fell flat on her face, and then started running towards me. Where was I?
That was also John in Memphis Raw? When he met Vinny. That was also pretty much what he did, wasn't it?
It basically was very much like that. How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez and Dave Meltzer here, Wrestling Observer Radio, August 19, 2017, figure4online.com/WrestlingObserver.com. We're here in Las Vegas at the Sweet Party, and what we're going to do here today is we're going to go over the news, and then I'm going to hand the mic over to Dave and everybody in the Sweet Party, and they're going to do a Q&A.
That should be fun.
It'll be a live mailbag. That's right.
Yep.
Why do you watch wrestling?
What?
Why do you watch wrestling?
It's my job. And I mean, to be honest, I enjoy it too. But you know, I mean,
are you baffled that he watches?
No, not really. Like my dad watches wrestling like every day. So
I do too.
Do you think? Because I have an older brother. I know in his heart of hearts he thinks it's absolutely stupid. I have a younger brother who doesn't care. Like he just says it is what it is. I know in his heart of hearts, like if I ask, mention wrestling, he just thinks it's the dumbest thing ever. I'll mention something in like if regarding Brock Lesnar, and then he comes to me whatever for information. So it is. I thought that's what you were asking.
Like I don't really watch wrestling at all. I was just wondering.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like I watch it sometimes. Like I'll just look behind my dad and watch him watch it.
Yeah, sometimes I'm sure it embarrasses your dad that you're watching it, because sometimes they do some things that, you know, that's the one thing about sometimes, you know, you when you watch WWE and sometimes and other people too, not just WWE, where the you kind of like wish that nobody's there watching it with you because they're doing something that's really embarrassing to you.
Regular listeners of Brian and Vinny shows are well aware of this. Like when Brian goes to Oregon, we are aware that he struggles to watch Raw sometimes when he goes to Oregon. 17.
All right, let's get Granny in the line and see. I already know what she's got this week, and I can't wait. Stand by.
We've got 82 entries, so I think we're going to have to make another two-weeker.
Oh, man. Did we finish last week?
I forget.
I think we may have. Oh, we did? Okay.
Well, today is... go ahead, Vinny.
Today's Thursday? What? Today, Granny wrote, today on the BNV show, tell a clean, short joke. Knock-knock ones
See,
are okay.
See, as soon as she said a short joke, they're all going to be about me, right? I bet you anything.
First one's not. I confess, I read this before we went on the air. It's actually about me, and I think it's awesome.
All right, let's go with these jokes.
Daniel Realms Cachopo says, Vinny is such a bad wrestler, ladders climb him to reach the title.
Wow.
You know, these should go pretty fast, because probably all I'll do is laugh.
Zachary Olinger. What did Batman say to Robin before they got in the Batmobile?
It's a knock-knock joke?
It's a riddle.
A riddle.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Hey, Robin, let's get in the Batmobile.
Oh, wow.
So far, this is awesome. So far, this is right up my alley.
Yeah, a bunch of goofy jokes.
Knock-knock.
Who's there?
Brent Crimmin.
Brent Crimmin who?
Okay, I don't want to come in now. That's Jaswan Kimbackett Goodman.
Wait a second. Knock, knock. Who's there?
Who's there? Brent Crimmin. Okay, I don't want to come in now.
It should be the other way around.
It should be.
That doesn't make any sense.
I'm not going to let you in, Brent
That's
Crimmin.
A stupid joke.
Yeah. Jay O'Leary. What happened to the frog's car when it broke down?
I don't know.
It was towed away.
Ho, 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 ho.
Good Laffy Taffy level, Laffy Taffy rapper level jokes here.
I'm amazed at the laughter it's getting out of Granny. I'm fake laughing. She's really laughing.
Yeah. Matthew James Sullivan. Why did the orange stop rolling down the hill? Because it ran out of juice.
Why in the world was that so funny?
I don't know. Because I had to look at you while I said it.
I'll give the prize to the first guy that really makes me laugh.
Come on, just be, quit being a sorehead.
I'm not being a sorehead.
He's got another one here. Why couldn't the little pirate see the movie at the theater?
It was rated R.
That is correct.
Yeah, too easy. I got one.
Joss Whedon's back.
This guy's not giving up.
He's a life. Vinny was sad because his ice cream got stolen. Who stole it?
Because his ice cream got stolen?
Who stole the ice cream?
I don't know.
Vinny's mouth.
I'm laughing more at Granny laughing at these bad jokes.
Get a little sense of humor here.
People really don't know how to write knock-knock jokes. Knock-knock.
Who's there?
Roman Reigns.
Roman.
Boo!
Your delivery made that one good.
Oh, God. Chris Curran. Where did Mary go after the explosion?
The explosion?
Where did Mary go after the explosion?
I don't know.
Everywhere.
That's a good one.
Uh-oh.
I can't believe I laughed at that one. Who's that?
That's Chris Curran.
Good job, Chris. How many has he tried before he made me laugh?
I think that's the first one.
Oh, really? Good job, Chris.
Sean Hunter. Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Hatch.
Hatch who?
God bless you.
Yeah.
Best the highlight of our whole week.
We should do this every week.
Troy Miller. Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Tim.
Tim who?
Okay.
A great payoff. Could you fuck the joke up any worse?
It's not me. It might fuck up.
Just say what he said then.
All right.
Language.
All right. I'll start it over. Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Tim.
Tim who?
Are you here for the party, Tim? And it says, yup. Then, okay, go ahead and walk around back. And then, cool, thank you.
Ah!
Apparently, knock-knock jokes
are
too complicated.
Can we block that guy from Facebook?
Knock-knock jokes are too complicated for our audience. That's Troy Miller.
I think people think if they do a really, really terrible joke that makes no sense, that'll be funnier. But he was wrong.
This is the first joke that I've known ahead of time going into this. In fact, I think we've done it on the show. Gary Mahaffey. Knock-knock.
Who's there?
Interrupting cow.
Interrupting.
Moo!
See, the Roman Reigns one was better. It was a playoff of that one. We should have read that one first.
I guess so.
Can I tell you mine? So, to kind of break it up a little?
Sure.
Okay. This guy went to the zoo. He had to buy two tickets, one to get in and one to get out. Do you get it?
Get it?
Huh?
He's like an animal.
I see.
Yeah.
He was so ugly, he had to pay his way out.
Because he was really ugly, Vinny.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Ugly people are funny.
Okay, got mine out of the way.
You sure did.
Liam Jordan. Headline in my local newspaper read, Midget Psychic Escapes Jail. Small, medium, at large.
No. Give me a break.
Uh-oh.
Max Childs asks, what's brown and sticky? A stick. Greg Harrison just says, Wang. Oh, here's another zoo joke. Nicholas Randolph, why don't college students take their exams at the zoo?
I don't know.
Too many cheetahs.
Oh, I get
That's
it.
A good one.
How are you hanging in over there, Brian?
I'm doing great.
Joss Whedon's back. Should I keep reading his?
Sure.
All right.
One of these days you'll get it.
It's a classic one, he says.
Oh.
Why was 6 afraid of 7?
I don't know.
It wasn't. Numbers are not living or capable of feeling emotion, and thus incapable of feeling fear.
Okay, this guy's done.
All right, I'll put him on the banned list. Kaya West. Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Braden Walker.
That's already funny. Braden Walker. Braden Walker who?
There's no answer. Braden Walker. Say it again. Knock, knock jokes are too complicated for our audience.
I get this one. Read it again.
Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Braden Walker.
I screwed it up.
Oh, I got as in Braden.
Yeah, like Braden Walker who?
Who the hell is Braden Walker?
Yeah.
I see.
It was funny in my mind till we tried it again, and then it wasn't funny.
We have a tasteless one.
Let's not read it. We got too many. It's the last thing the show needs is tasteless humor.
Nicholas Randolph, why did the tomato blush?
I don't know.
It saw the salad dressing.
Oh.
Nice one. That one made sense.
J.S., knock, knock.
Who's there?
Europe.
Europe who?
No, you're a poo.
Okay, Brian, laugh.
Drew Blanton, did you hear about the guy who robbed the calendar store?
He had a hard time getting dates.
He got 6 months.
Oh.
I like that one.
Anthony Gonzalez has three in a row here.
Oh, it's always good when you got three in a row. That's a lack of confidence.
What's another term to describe Saul being angry?
I don't know.
Salty.
Mm.
What do you call an awesome maze?
I don't know.
Amazing.
I should have known that one.
Obvious.
How did the ox sell his saddle?
At the auction.
He auctioned it off.
Oh, look at that.
There you go, yeah. I'll skip that one. Actually, that's... And now I'll skip that one. Oh, he's back. How does an ox listen to music in his car?
Auxiliary
cord.
Cable.
Yes. Got this Europe one already. Anthony, he's got a million of them. I saw a cabbage get upset at someone the other day. He was quite the sauerkraut. Merriam-Webster, when the Rock is making a pan of soup, how does he chop his onions?
When the Rock is making a pan of soup?
How does he chop his onions?
I don't know.
Finally.
Finally.
Okay, that one wasn't bad.
MK Airy just says, shortest joke in the world, dwarf shortage. James Caldwell says, a chameleon never changes its stripes.
What? <That's> what I'm losing patience now.
Oh, come on, Brian.
Brian Smith, what should you do if you see a spaceman?
I don't know.
Parking it, man.
Excuse me?
See a space, comma, man. Parking it.
I see.
Yeah.
One more.
I don't know what's going on with that one. I'll pass that. I'll pass that. Okay, these are some really dumb ones. Like worse than the dumb ones I've read before.
I was going to say, excuse me, some really dumb ones. Read one of them.
How do you catch a unique rabbit?
I don't know.
Unique up on him. You don't know that one?
No.
You know that age four.
I don't think I was ever four.
What does Snow White say while waiting at Walgreens for her pictures to develop?
I don't know.
Someday my prince will come.
Okay, let's do the goddamn wrestling report.
Now, Brian, should we do the Valentine one next week?
Yes, let's do the Valentine poem next week. Okay. Tell them to keep it short. Some of these guys get out of control.
Yeah, I don't know how many we left here.
Not enough. All right.
Oh, wait a minute. I see one I want to read.
Oh, please.
Two cannibals are eating a clown. One turns to the other and says, does this taste funny to you? That was funny.
Why didn't she read all of them?
I don't know. I don't know why she doesn't read them every week.
Granny, read two more.
Oh, wait a minute.
I'll give you two more to read.
Okay. Keenan Funk says, knock, knock. Who's there? Dishes. Dish is who? Dish is a bad joke.
I've never heard her so happy.
Some of these are funny.
Granny, have you been drinking tonight?
She's sober. Do another one.
I haven't got a drink in the house. Okay, let's see what this one is. Adam Verona. Hey, Granny, what do you call a pile of cats?
A pile of cats?
A pile of
a
cats.
A pile of cats.
A meowton. A meowton. You know, like a mountain?
Yeah, no, like a mountain.
Oh, now I get it.
Yeah, I didn't get it before. Do another one.
Oh, this is...
I'll be here all night now. This is how we should have done it, Vinny. What the hell were you doing reading?
It was your idea.
Said, did you hear about the scarecrow that won an award? He was outstanding in his field. That's a good one. Oh, here's one. Why did Jack Gallagher cross the road? Because there was a little breeze.
Oh, my God.
I like that one.
I'm starting to worry about her. Like she.
I can't stop laughing.
This much laughter can mean I'd be good for her.
More.
More?
Yeah, we don't call them more.
It says, why was Shane McMahon fired from McDonald's? He was caught throwing potatoes. I don't get
should have quit when I was dead.
Robert Ashley says, knock, knock, who's there? Doorbell repairman. I'm trying not to laugh.
She's snorting now.
She is crying, I think.
Okay. That's it.
That's it? Okay. We're done. All right, Granny. Next week, Valentine's poems. I want you to read.
No.
If anybody can read a romantic poem, Granny, it's definitely you.
All right, we'll talk about it.
We'll talk about it. All right, well, that's it.
I'm done.
Okay, we'll talk to you next week.
All righty.
Adios. That seriously made me want to start the entire show over again and redo that segment with Granny reading all of the jokes.
That will be the highlight of the show.
Even if she would have read the same jokes a second time, she still would have laughed.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Problem was the jokes that went over her head like Shane McMahon and the potatoes.
Yeah.
All right. Go ahead, Vinny.
Ready for not just Brian?
Oh, man, am I ready.
Okay.
Is Granny going to say who's there or who's going to do it?
No, you do it, Vinny.
I have to do both parts.
Vinny's, okay. Someone's got to answer the door, Granny.
Oh, okay. I'll say who's there.
Okay.
I'm not sure I'm prepared for this.
I'm already.
There's 53 of us.
Oh, my God. Well, thank God we got a contest for the next 6 weeks.
Some of them are, who said about a contest?
Okay, anyway, go ahead.
We'll wait till the end.
Yeah.
Sean Najad. Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Little old lady.
Little old lady who?
I didn't know you could yodel.
That's a classic, Granny.
Francis Mitchell. Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Banana.
Banana who?
Knock, knock.
Huh?
Who's there?
Banana.
Banana who?
Knock, knock.
Huh? I have to say knock, knock again?
I'm just reading what's written.
Who's there, Vinny? Who's there?
Last time, banana.
Banana who?
Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Orange.
Orange, you glad I didn't say banana?
Hey, how did you know that one?
Wow.
Look at that. I used to read knock, knock jokes when I was a kid.
That's weird.
It is weird.
Granny's not a fan of the avant-garde art deco knock, knock.
It's got to be old school knock, knocks for Granny.
Okay.
Somebody repeats a joke, just skip it, right?
Cheerio.
Yeah, the Yoda one over again. Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Trevor Thompson. Tommy a Tommy.
Tommy who?
Tommy a Tommy who?
I don't know. That's what they said his name was.
Oh.
That's how it's written.
That better go down in history.
Knock, knock. This is Brian Humphreys.
Okay.
I feel very bad about not getting this guy's credit.
Yeah, God forbid.
I'll start over. Granny, knock, knock.
Who's there?
Isabel.
Isabel who?
Is a bell working or should I keep knocking?
Oh, that's a good one.
My family
she doesn't
likes,
laugh at the good ones.
My family likes puns.
She just expresses appreciation.
Yeah.
Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Ed's Women's Recap.
Ed's Raymond Recap what?
Exactly.
I don't get that one either.
I got it. I laughed.
I'm laughing, but I didn't get it.
Okay. Jeremy Chapman says, knock, knock.
Who's there?
Impact.
Impact what?
Impact who?
Jesus.
Do you know how to do this, Granny? It's who, not what. Someone's knocking on the door.
Maybe, Brian, you should do it, because I'm getting so confused, I don't get it.
Just add who at the end, not what. Let's do a who's on first joke next time. Impact, Brian, impact who?
Brian, do it for me, please, because okay. I get all confused and can't enjoy them.
Okay, how about you do the one worders? I'll do if there's more than one. Anyway, impact who?
I'll just say who, and then you take over. Okay?
Impact who?
Who?
What? Okay.
Okay, I figured this out now. So you start over again, Vinny. I figured out what she's doing.
Okay.
Okay, go for it.
We'll start over?
Yes.
Jeremy Chapman. Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Impact.
Impact.
Impact who?
Brian, is this that?
Just leave me out of it, okay?
God. This was your idea to just say who.
Well, just leave me out of it altogether. I'm getting too confused.
I don't know what to do now.
Impact who? Okay. Who?
Here it is. Impact inside this delivery box and running out of air. Jesus.
All that for that?
That is the payoff.
Okay.
I think we should go to the wrestling report. I think we peaked for this week.
No, let's do some more.
We're all too confused. Vinny's dying over here, Granny.
He's having fun.
He's dying.
Oh, I feel great.
You should see him.
Crying, nose running, coughing. It's great. Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Not.
Not who?
Not Sami Zayn's push.
See, we should have ended on the last one.
That's better.
What?
I don't know what's happening. Two more. Then we're really going to do the wrestling report.
Carl Freeman says, knock, knock.
Who's there?
Boo.
Boo-hoo.
Why are you crying?
Why are you crying, you idiot? I mean, I am too, but one more.
Patrick McGuire says, knock, knock.
Who's there?
Ryback.
Ryback who?
Get off, Ryback. I'm trying to read the secret.
What?
I don't think he gets how knock-knock jokes work. He gets them worse than we do.
Oh, my God. Granny, what'd you watch this week?
I watched...
We'll do more knock-knock next week. We'll just pick up where we left off.
I watched...
No!
It'll be easy to remember where that was.
Can we do that next week?
Yes, we'll keep going next week.
I'll die. Hall Norton and yes, Dusty Rhodes came out for a promo.
Okay.
Okay. Allow me for a moment.
Go ahead.
Dusty comes out. First off, when's the last time we saw Dusty?
He was
it's
there.
Been a while.
He was there about, maybe 4 to 6 months ago. He came out with the NWO.
Comes out with Scott Hall and some other geeks. It doesn't even matter. And he starts going off. Oh, we haven't seen this guy for 6 months.
Right.
Okay?
Yes.
He randomly comes back for the sole purpose of saying to the announcers, you know what? I was the best announcer of all time. And then he says, I can't even believe I'm saying this. He said, me joining the NWO. He's standing with the NWO.
Yep.
Me joining the NWO is collusion to take me out of the announce booth. What?
Okay, you got more ahead of this than I did.
No, that's what he said.
I didn't get that part.
He is shooting or something.
Okay.
He is explaining to us at home that, in fact, he didn't join the NWO. He was put in the NWO by the company as a way to get him out of the announce booth.
I didn't get
that's
that.
What he said.
Yeah. I missed that part.
I didn't get that out of that.
That is those were his exact words.
I believe that you believe that.
No, those were his exact words. He said that word for word. I joined the NWO and it was collusion to take me out of the booth, and he's mad about it. Then he says, Larry, you suck. I'm putting you under a Texas gag order.
That's what he said.
I'm going to give this thing bandana. That I want you to put around your mouth.
Bandana.
And if you don't, you're in trouble.
Yeah.
What?
I don't know.
Now, the reason that Dusty had, and I laughed and laughed and laughed, Dusty said to Larry that you butcher the English language, then. And I died.
I was so furious during this segment.
Dusty claimed that he butchered the English
Larry
language.
Yeah.
That
yeah.
is the damn least of our worries. That is the least of our worries. That's at least a heel saying a funny line.
15.
We got footage of each main female on the show. So this is like the Bellas, Naomi and Ariane, and Natty trading in the ring for the upcoming WrestleMania show. Then John Cena and Nikki Bella make out while fishing in a strange turn of events. Then we are introduced to Jane Geddes and Mark Carano.
Dude, I got to talk about this fishing real quick.
Yeah, go for it. Like I said, you have to walk
I'll
me through this.
I'll just jump in
leash.
When I got
to
say something. Otherwise, just keep going. John Cena's out there in a t-shirt. Dude is gigantic. You know what I mean? He was gigantic. I couldn't believe my eyes.
You couldn't believe your eyes?
No, I seriously couldn't. Like, I know
mean, you've seen him in person.
His
arms are
huge,
right?
But oh my God, he was gigantic here. It's like, man, 2013?
Yeah.
This dude was enormous. I mean, maybe he's exactly as big today, but man, he was big. So anyway.
Well, Nikki Bella was also, like, in worse shape then.
Well, it wasn't that she was in worse shape. This was the period where her and Brie actually looked like twins, whereas now they look like sisters that are several ages apart, years apart.
She was in worse shape. You can say that. She's in better shape now, which...
She's in different shape now.
She wasn't as muscular.
Yes. Doesn't mean she's in worse shape. She was not like she was fat.
No.
She looked like Brie. Now she looks like Nikki. It's weird.
Well, she looked like Nikki both times. One time she looked like a girl that maybe could date Daniel Bryan, and now she looks like a girl that would date John Cena.
No, she looked like a girl where they could have done a storyline where they switched places to date Daniel Bryan, but now you'd never get away with that. That better?
What?
Anyway, talk about Jane Geddes.
That's what you wanted to say about John Cena? You were admiring his man
meat? I'm not admiring. I was
fishing.
Just amazed at his size.
That sounds like admiration to me.
No, I didn't say, oh my God.
You're a size queen? Is that what?
No. Can we just move on, damn it?
Okay.
So, I'm trying not to say too much.
Why? Isn't that what we're supposed to do? We're supposed to talk about the fucking show.
Nah, he's just huge. I was like, how the hell are you so big, dude? Like, how?
Why did this come back? I was moving on, and you brought it back
again.
Because
you keep bugging me about it.
No, I was done. We go to John Cena's private jet. Are you kidding me? This was on SmackDown this week.
Yep, he's got his own private jet, unlike the normal people like Daniel Bryan and Brie Bella.
They're flying around. They're flying to Washington, and they decide on the flight that they're going to have a good old-fashioned wood-chopping competition when they get to Aberdeen. So they get there, and Nikki bitches and complains about Washington and the house and essentially everything. They have the wood chopping competition ensues, and oh my, John Cena is just so muscular in his cardigan. Oh, my pants can hardly contain the impending explosion. Brian, you know what I'm talking about, right? Based on last week?
Well, I mean...
Did you see him in this shirt?
He didn't have a shirt, so he looked like he did when he was wrestling.
No. He had a shirt on at first.
Well, he did. I didn't notice this week. Not like last week.
Probably because you could see his nipples through the shirt, and you were fixated.
Fuck that. Let's just talk about how ridiculous the whole thing was. Hey, let's pretend there's no cameras here. Let's pretend we're going to have a wood chopping contest. We'll dress up the girls in tight jeans and tiny shirts, and the dudes will walk around in jeans and no shirts on, and then they'll swing this axe. I was like, what the fuck is this besides the obvious?
You told me this kind of stuff doesn't go down in your life.
Are you kidding me? In fucking Aberdeen, they're lucky no one drove by. They'd all be in jail. You can't do that shit out there. Filming a porn in the front yard in Aberdeen? Come on. This ain't SoCal. This ain't Vegas.
There was a fence in the back, I'm pretty sure. I don't think you could see him.
Couldn't even believe this.
You couldn't?
No, I was sickened.
So, yeah, the girls were in skimpy outfits. Just, I was sickened, too. Can you believe that?
Because it was preposterous.
The girls come out there in those gross outfits. I mean, just let us look at John Cena and marvel at his masculinity. Come on.
14.
All right, we're back, everybody. Granny is joining us as she is every Thursday. Lots to talk about here today. What's happening, Granny?
Well, I have a comment to make at the end of the show.
Don't do this again. If you have a comment, just give it at the beginning.
No.
Granny, what's on your mind?
Not too much. I had George come over today and do a bunch of work out in the yard, and he threw away some of my good plants. Other than that, everything's fine.
All right, anything else?
No.
All right, we're going to wrap it up. What's your comment that you wanted to make at the end of the segment?
You're not going to do that.
Come on. What is it, Granny? I'm going to be sitting here worried about it the entire time.
Don't even worry about it. Let's go to our knock-knocks.
Oh, God. What's it have to do with?
Me.
Well, I should have known that. Oh, are you going to retire?
Brian?
Yes?
Just wait till the end.
I can't wait till the end, Granny. Now I'm all concerned about it.
He's making me do this, Vinny.
Come on,
Leave
Granny.
Me out of this.
Come on, Granny.
This is a family dispute.
Come on. It ain't even a dispute.
I just wanted to let everybody know I hate wrestling. There, are you happy?
I am happy, Granny.
All right.
I'm actually in a way better mood now going into this segment now that I know that. Because, you know, Granny, people around the world are screaming that every single day. You ain't alone.
Okay.
Yeah. We know you hate wrestling.
Kurt Hawkins versus Aleister Black.
Aleister Black.
Black. Okay. Okay. They went back and forth. At one point, Kurt just sat down in the middle of the ring. One got hit on the apron. It was Kurt. A few more slams and counts, kicks Kurt in the usual winner's way. Blake wins. Short match.
Granny has seen all this before.
Yeah, she is. She's sick of all these kicks that end these matches.
The usual well, way.
I had a note here. Something. Just a minute. Okay. Well, what I think here is I think they should come up for a name for that since everybody's doing winning that way. So I had a couple of them. I think a kick out would. They've already got that, probably, huh?
Yeah, they already got a kick out. That was taken.
How about a closure?
The closure.
Ooh, that's a pretty good one.
Or I like this one, a face finish.
I don't think that's a good idea.
Why not? That's my favorite finish.
It's a lot of people's favorite, it turns out, but I don't think it's a good idea for a wrestling move name.
Oh. Can you guys come up with any?
Not right now.
Okay. That's all I got.
Now.
Yeah?
So you were going to end by telling us that you hated wrestling.
Yeah, right.
Okay. Just because you watch so much of it? I hate it for totally different reasons right now.
Well, I don't know. It's just so fake.
Wow.
But, you know, it really, when you think about it, it's pretty remarkable that they can do all those moves that looks like they're really getting hurt, and they really aren't. You know what I mean?
Well, they're usually not. Sometimes they get hurt.
Yeah, sometimes, but...
when Sheamus is involved.
Do they talk to each other while they're wrestling?
Usually, yeah.
So they don't rehearse or anything like that?
There's usually not much rehearsal.
But they just tell each other what they're going to do?
Yep. Although Randy Orton and Jinder Mahal did that exact same match on like 15 different shows.
Oh, that's another thing I noticed. One of the shows was on twice.
Yeah, they replay it in case you missed it the first time.
Oh.
Yeah.
They got 24 hours of wrestling to fill.
That's bad enough. You have to watch it the first time and then they replay it.
Well, some people want to see it again. But or they missed it the first time.
But it really is remarkable how they can do all that rough stuff and not get hurt.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I have to give them credit for that.
That's right. But it's very fake, huh?
Yeah.
You watched a lot of wrestling this week, Granny. I can understand you being annoyed by it. I won't even tell you how much wrestling I watch.
This is true.
Week.
The more you watch, the more you hate it.
Yeah.
In fact, Nikki and I were talking about it, and we were both agreed that we can't understand how in the world you guys can watch so much.
I can't either. And then I have to listen to people tell me I don't watch any wrestling.
Wow.
You know what I want to do to those people?
Punch
anyway.
I don't know.
Time is earlier comment.
Is closure.
It's all right. That's right. Well, on a completely different note, apparently Vince Russo has filed a restraining order against Jim Cornette.
Yeah. What does that mean? Whatever. I don't know. It's
what's going on here?
Well, I feel really sorry for the judge who, like, wasted his time and actually believed this idiot. You know what I'm saying? Because it's like... there are, like, important things going on, and, you know, like, he needs a protection order. I mean, I suppose, you know, if you listen to Cornette, but it's like, you know, the other guy's, like, does gay baiting and all that stupidity that he does, and you know what I mean? It's like he asks for it. He's doing it all for publicity, and now he's doing this restraining order. It's obviously a publicity stunt, and Cornette's going to use it for the, you know, whatever. You know, I mean, he obviously was telling everybody about it right now. And, you know, Cornette, you know, that's, he loves to cut promos on Russo. And I get it. If I was Cornette, you know, I mean, if anyone was Cornette and don't understand why he hates him, you know, I mean, he's got, I can tell you, the guy's got every, I'll just tell the story. When Cornette loved working in TNA, and then, you know, Russo came back at one of the, again. And Jeff Jarrett talked him into behaving himself. So they worked together. And Cornette, you know, they were working together, and that was that. And unfortunately, they had a, you know, an owner who was a complete idiot, complete and total idiot. And no matter how horrible business was going and how many much people were complaining about it, she was like the last person to fall for the Vince Russo con that he, you know, whatever. I mean, just again, and I don't really like talking about Vince Russo because it's like a waste of everyone's time. It's someone from another generation who's been a failure for years, and he's out of the business, and his track record speaks for itself, to say the least. But I mean, she, you know, she lost Spike over trying to keep the, you know, they didn't want her associating with him. They didn't want his writing. They thought so little of him. They made it very clear they didn't want him writing the show. And then she, being the complete moron that she is, I mean, moron, I mean, I'll just, Dixie Carter. I mean, if I could tell you stories about Dixie Carter, it would blow your freaking mind. But this is this one, but no story would blow your mind more than the Vince Russo story, that Spike didn't want, you know, Vince Russo to have anything to do with it. And so she hired him and told him, you know, and kept it a secret, you know, lied to the guys, lied to everyone. There was like, you know, six people in the company who knew, you know, and of course the idiot sends an email to Mike Johnson because he thinks it's Mike Tenay, and Mike Johnson gets the email, and Mike Johnson goes, hey, Vince Russo's really working there. And that's why they went into such a freaking panic, because they knew that if Mike Johnson reported, and they're damage control. Think about this. And I'll never know this. I don't, you know, I mean, I don't, you know, Mike Johnson can speak for himself on this story, on what would have happened. I have no idea. I'm not even going to speculate. But what I could tell you is this. When they found out that Mike Johnson knew, and they found out, the first thing they should have done, you know, John Gaborik, who's another Einstein, is call Mike Johnson and go, Mike, we got a big problem, and lay out your cards on the table. We got a big problem, and this is the big problem. Can you do us a favor? Now, he may very well go, fuck no, I can't do you a favor. I got a story. It's a big story, and screw you. And he may very well have said that, or he may not have, and I don't know. You can ask him what he would do. I believe that he would probably give you an honest answer. I've never asked him. I probably should someday. If I was ever going to write a book, I would on that situation. But anyway, because it's always been kind of an unanswered question in my mind. But they didn't do that. Instead, they let the thing simmer and simmer, and Mike Johnson reported it. And then they went all ballistic and crazy. And Vince Russo, you know, comes out and lies and says, oh, it's all a lie, it's all a lie, it's all a lie. And then they called him up and go, dude, they know it's not a lie. It's not a lie. Quit doing that. Admit the truth. So Russo finally admits the truth and of course, throws them under the bus and says, well, they told me to lie. When, in fact, I don't know that they did. Well, they did originally. You know, if anyone asks you, you know, you have to lie. They did say that at first. So, and then, what it was, 6 days, 7 days later, when the decision was made to pull the plug on him, you know, even though everybody, like, will say it had nothing to do with it. I mean, I can tell you 100% that it did. That, you know, not that Spike was going to renew them if this didn't happen, because, but that was the straw that broke the camel's back. There's a very good chance Spike wasn't going to renew them anyway. Very good chance. But when this happened, that did trigger the decision to be made right at that moment, because how can you work with the people who lie to you? And ever since they lost Spike, they've gone straight to hell. But anyway, so when Jim Cornette is working for this company and liking it, he's enjoying this job. Vince Russo is, constantly undermining him behind his back while pretending to be his friend, or at least pretending that I'm going to be professional and work with you. And then he keeps going to Dixie the whole time and writes these memos with these made up stories of these people that, oh, I know this guy from, you know, this big shot. And he says, your TV's so good, but what is Jim Cornette doing, you know, as the, you know, on-screen figurehead? It's, it makes you look so bad. And it's like, the funny part of the guy who he made up to say that was actually a guy who's friends with Jim Cornette. That's how we know the story's completely made up. He's, you know, and he's so, you know, that's Vince Russo. So that didn't work. So then he does this deal, and he goes to Dixie. I need help with this writing. It's whatever. We need Ed Ferrara. That'll turn us around. We'll get Ed Ferrara back. But we got this problem. You know, Ed won't come back unless you get rid of Jim Cornette. So what does she do? We need Ed. Vince says so. So they get rid of Jim Cornette. And, you know, how long did Ed last there? You know what I'm saying? So anyway, but that is the story of what happened. That was the last. And there's other Vince Russo, Jim Cornette stories. But that's the last one. And that's the one where, you know, I'm sorry, but if I'm Jim Cornette, I, you know, whatever you think of Jim Cornette, you know, and it's like, you know, you can think whatever you want. He's got his faults, obviously. He's also very, very smart when it comes to wrestling history. And he's got some very good instincts when it comes to wrestling. And, you know, obviously as a performer was one of the greatest managers of all time. But obviously has some temper issues. To say the least. And he's a fantastic promo. But so anyway, that the whole deal there, but whatever, again, the fact is that, you know, that's not something that, you know, you just, the way that all went down, is just not something that, you know, you can just forgive or anything like that, even though whatever. So they've been cutting promos on each other. Some people find it entertaining. I find certain lines that each has done entertaining, but I also find it not entertaining in other ways. But it's there, it's what it is. And so Jim Cornette, you know, has cut promos on him, challenging him to a fight, and he called Jim Cornette. What do you call him? Like Kamala or something? You're fat like Kamala and Buggy Whip. I don't know. He cut a promo back. You know, I'm not going to fight you because, you know, you're not an athlete and blah, blah, blah. So he's cutting his promo back. And he goes to a freaking judge to get a restraining order against Jim Cornette. It's like, God, it's like they're not more important things in court than, you know, if that judge ever heard the stupidity of that, all the gay baiting stuff that he does and everything like that, and takes this guy seriously and gives him a restraining order. But it's all comedy anyway. I just hate our court system to be in the middle of this complete and utter stupidity that should not be in the court system. So that's my thoughts on that. What's your thoughts?
I'm staying out of this one. I'm staying out of it.
Why?
It's ridiculous.
It's a story.
I know, but it's ridiculous. I don't like to give Vince Russo 5 seconds of my time.
I don't either.
I spent a decade doing that. I wrote a book about it. I'm over it.
Okay. I don't either. And my rule of thumb is to ignore everything that he does. However, because tonight it's a news story, that I got to override that thing of saying that I don't want to give the guy any credence or anything, but he's in the news. I can't run away from the news, even though this is a story.
But it's a preposterous news story. It's like an irrelevant news story.
I know it is, but it's a
news guy did a crazy thing.
I know it's a news story, but unfortunately, I cover a lot of ridiculous and stupid news stories, and I would just as soon ignore. And this is very high on the list. In fact, maybe the highest on the list of one that I would rather not even waste a second on. But it's a news story for today, and hopefully. You know, it'll go away quietly, but I know it won't. I know it's just going to get sillier and sillier. And the whole thing is, but you know, so everyone knows, and everyone already knows this, it is a complete publicity stunt by a guy hungry for publicity. And we all know that. It's just that, like, man, I hate when a court's used for a freaking bullshit publicity stunt.
I do want to start today on behalf of me and Dave thanking everybody that came down here for the convention. I know you left yesterday, Dave, so you missed out, or actually 2 days
ago. But tell me about the, before we start the summertime, tell me about the convention.
I'm telling you about it now. So you missed.
Oh, so tell me about it.
Yeah,
how come you super kicked Tom?
Well, that's another story entirely. So you missed the wrestling show. I did super kick Tom. We'll talk about that on show with him on Wednesday. He's not fired, everybody. We're both professionals, but.
Well, what happened?
He's bothering me about owing him money, so jumped the rail and super kicked him and stuffed his $10 down his throat, and that's all she wrote for the moment.
Did you have a bet with him or something?
Well, kind of. He was doing the Impact review, and then 1 week he stopped, and I told him I bet him $10 that he had given up on watching Impact, and he insisted
he hadn't.
So he watched the next week. To get his $10, but then quit. So I was actually right.
You were right.
I was right. But he wanted his fight. He wanted his $10, and he was bugging me about it for months. And so,
no, I unless he has a better, unless he like gives me a better explanation, I would rule in favor of you on that.
That's
one.
Right. Let's go to John. John is on the air. I can only imagine what he's got to say here today. John, hello, my friend.
Well, hello, Brian. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. What's up?
Oh, recovering from the weekend, having to have one of the greatest moments in my life, Brian. I finally met him.
You did finally meet him. I was there.
Yes. Too bad you. Too bad. No, Mike. Let me tell you something. How bad this geek was. He had his. I told him to get your camera out. And take the moment that you take the picture for me. And what did the geek do? He forgot to take his picture.
Mm-mm-mm.
Because the picture that you got on the board was the tame version of the picture of the meeting between me and the greatest man, the greatest pro wrestler that ever graduated from Buffalo High School.
Wait a second now, the tame picture. So there was a live picture that took place right before that. What was happening in that picture that Brian missed out on and now we have all missed out on because Brian was lazy on the draw?
Now, there's pictures all over the place of this. I mean, if you want, all you do is take the picture that's out there and extend it out for 10 minutes while he hung on to Vinny, and Vinny just was more and more uncomfortable with each passing second.
Which, that's pretty great right there.
It was awesome.
It was awesome. It was awesome. Too bad you missed the karaoke bar that we had. Oh, that was awesome.
Yeah, I heard Vinny. What did he sing? Total Eclipse of the Heart?
Oh, Jesus.
No. It was My Heart Would Go by Celine Dion.
Actually, I do. I am sad I missed that now.
Okay. No, you missed that one. And let's see. I met Wayne, and I literally can say this about this, folks. Wayne is truly what you see is what you get with Wayne.
Yep.
Geek.
And I thought that, I couldn't believe it. But Wayne is really truly himself as he was on the radio.
Yeah, he's exactly.
And I told him that, and he was.
Wang himself. That's his new name.
Yep.
Yeah.
That is true. It is true. What you see is what you get. That is absolutely true. That's why I chose him.
So my goal is this, ladies and gentlemen. I want to meet two more people. We have three, but two to come to the convention next year. Oh, yeah, I'm coming back next year. I want to meet you, Mike.
Mm.
Come on, Mike. I want to meet you in person.
All right.
And I want to meet Crash on the board.
Oh, that's a new one.
That's a new one. But I really, really want to meet Britt Kremen to see how bad could this guy be.
Well,
that is my goal.
John, listen, I want to thank you very much for the call. Well, we'll be here all day if you keep going here. I really
got to have goals. That's the
right.
One thing I know. You got to have goals in life.
It was great to meet you, John. It was great to meet everybody. We had a wonderful time at the convention. And
you molest Vinny, so if you go, so you know that is truly the case. If you want to wrap your big paws around Vinny V, there you go. And you can be like John in Memphis. Vinny V's number one fan dreams truly do come true at the F4W convention.
I told all you guys to get out there. I don't know if Mike's going to make it out there or Crash. Or I know for sure Brent's not going to make it out there, but you really should go next year, everybody. We'll give you plenty of warning, so start saving your money now. I mean, Vegas is cheap, but it's also very expensive. Mm-hmm. So it all depends on how you want to spend your money.
And
the flights
San Antonio.
Are cheap. The rooms were cheap. The gambling is not cheap. Yeah,
how about the women?
Don't talk about Ed. This person says, Brian, you did say that you would bet him $10 he wouldn't watch Impact. He did. He won the bet. The fact that Mike is siding with his sworn enemy is saying something.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
right.
Well, you know
whose side are you on, Mike? Come on.
Well, the people and the common man. And, you know, you're holding that over his head. It's not like Tom's working right now, right? Is he fighting right now? No. Some things have occurred. He's out of a job. He could use that $10. He's got kids. My God, he's got kids.
What are you talking about?
And you're holding this up over his head.
He's working every weekend. He's all over the country.
Yeah, but
still,
dude, it's not about what you make. It's about what you save. And he needs to save every little last bit. He doesn't know what his future's going to be.
So what's the problem?
Yeah, no, but you held it over his head and you tortured him about it and you rubbed it in his face and you're just like every other kind of stinking boss out there that rubs it in, you know, and holds it, dangles it over their people's head. And then to go out there and do what you did by setting up this plan against him and kicking him in the face in his hometown on his show, on a show that was put together and promoted to feature you to do that, I think is a disgusting act.
So I'm going to read Ed's email here in a minute, but obviously the elephant in the room is what happened with Filthy Tom. We've not done a Filthy Tom show this week yet. I don't know if you guys have noticed or not, but Filthy, you know, he's a little upset about things, but
he's very sensitive.
He is very sensitive.
He takes things way too seriously and way too personally.
But he is at the end of the day a professional, and so we have agreed that we will do our weekly show tomorrow, Friday.
Yeah.
So that's going to be taking place. Vinny, you were there in the front row. I think you know the whole story of why everything went down the way it did.
Well, I knew you and Wang were there, and Wang was very excited at the show. He was very on edge, and I couldn't really figure out why. And I don't know the name of Tom's corner man. I apologize to that fellow, but he was out there just trying to do his job. And I saw the two of them going at each other once in a while. And the next thing I know, Wang's over the railing. Wang's out.
Yeah, he escaped. He was released.
Yeah. And you tried to plead with him. You tried to appeal to a sense of logic. This is not the time or the place for this sort of thing. And there was all sorts of pushing and shoving and a big hullabaloo. And I'm just in the crowd enjoying it as a fan. And apparently, I can only imagine what a terrible thing Tom must have said. Because then you kicked him in the mouth.
Well, I mean, if you don't know the story, Vinny, which apparently you don't, I'll explain you what happened, and then you can side with me, even though you rarely do. In this situation, you will. Mm-hmm. So Filthy is charged with watching Impact.
Right.
Which, by the way, should already be on my side, because I gave him that job and not you. So he was watching Impact every week, and then one week he didn't watch it. And then the next week he didn't watch it. And then the next week he didn't watch it. And every week there was an excuse. And finally I said, Tom, I know you've just given up on this show. I know you're done reviewing Impact. And he said, no, I'm not. And I said, yes, you are. And eventually I said, Tom, I bet you $10 that you're done reviewing the show. And so, of course, the very next week he reviewed the show.
Aha.
But that was the last one he ever reviewed. So I'm right. He did give up on it. He watched one show to try to get the $10, but, like, what's the word I'm trying to use? Like, you know that he had given up, right? Even Dave is, even Dave agreed with me about this.
Yeah.
The guy gave up. So in my opinion, I didn't know him $10, but every week he just goes on and on, bugging me about my $10. I want my $10. I got to have my $10. Give me my $10, blah, 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 blah. So I tried to get Wang out of the ring, and Tom is screaming about how he wants his fucking $10. Those were his exact words.
Are you kidding
me?
That was when he decided to pick this fight?
Well, he just brought it up in the ring, and so I super kicked him, and luckily I had some money left over from the Sapphire, and I shoved $2 $5 bills down his mouth. So, quite frankly, I don't know what he's so upset about. He got his money. I mean, I saved him from a loss.
That's true.
So, I mean, if anything, like, he should be thanking me. But instead, he's angry.
You grabbed Wang and pulled him off his corner man.
That's
right.
You
gave him his money. You turned what surely would have been a loss for him that night into a no contest.
That's right. I saved his corner man.
I don't know why he's so angry.
I don't either.
And let's be honest. Would anyone be talking about his match if we weren't talking about it here? If you and Wang had not got involved?
I mean, probably not.
No.
I mean, it was a good match. Don't get me wrong.
Of course it was, but he wasn't even the biggest former UFC star on that show.
Well, there was Phil Baroni there.
Yeah.
I mean, it was... there was Phil Baroni and Stefan Bonner were mm-hmm. there. So, yeah, it was a pretty big... hullabaloo. But... at the end of the day, did what I had to do. He's all calling me out on Twitter here, apparently unaware that I am retired. I mean, there's not going to be any sort of retribution from Tom here. I'm not going to wrestle him or anything like that. But that's the story. So if anybody wanted to know the backstory, that's what happened there. Now, shall I read Ed's convention shoutouts here?
Let's go ahead and read it. Go ahead and read Ed's email. By the time you're done, it'll be time for next year's convention.
That's true. Brian and Vinny, after the most successful Vegas convention ever, I want to thank the people that helped to make it so great. First, my partner in crime, Scott, for making the Brown Paper Tickets website and helping keep track of all of the money involved, and for getting me great deals on the rooms I got for Antonio and the girls. By the way, for those of you that have been following this show very carefully, do you notice that a few weeks ago, Ed claimed that he had created the Brown Paper Tickets website, and now, when it's over, after he'd been called out, by the way, he admits that he was not the one who was responsible for that. It was actually Scott.
I see.
Yes. Joe DeFalco for letting me co-promote, he says, the FSW show, and booking 8 wrestlers on the show, including our very own Marco. Sorry you got choked out for real. We sold the place out and turned people away. That is true. That
Stephen
is true.
Bonner is learning.
It was a turnaway crowd.
That's also true.
Marco, for all the running around he did to help set up these suite parties. Dez, for helping get the suite. Of course, it wouldn't be Dez without something going wrong, but we'll figure it out. Jack Jameson, for driving to Vegas and putting on a great performance and wrestling for free just to be a part of the show. Tom and Antonio, the FSW show wouldn't have happened without them. And they had a great match going till Wang and Brian screwed it up. Also, thanks for working for free. Did he really write that?
Apparently he's putting this in there.
It's not my fault, he says. Only the girls were smart enough to ask for pay. I honestly should edit this out of the show.
it's a good reason, idea for many reasons.
I mean, the good news is if Tom thought he was mad at me, I mean, I think I'm in second place now after that.
Oh, Ed.
Oh, man.
He's so not bright.
Yeah, but it, actually, so now Tom should be more thankful that he got a $10 payoff, thanks to me. I mean, I'm the guy that actually paid him for this show.
Oh, there's that, too.
William Powell in the Sci-Fi Center. A lot of things went wrong behind the scenes, including him having to rewire the electricity on his own after the power went out the day of NXT so we could have our viewing parties. Leva Bates, Mia Yim, Hudson Envy, Shotzi Blackheart for an awesome main event and for bringing some hotness to the big dinner. Mia for hijacking the show so I got exactly what I wanted in the match. Leva for hanging out so much, but not so much for losing the last of my money at blackjack. Brandon, Corey, and Dazza for helping pay for Tom, Antonio, and the girls' dinners. And last but not least, since Brian and Dave can't thank me at all on Observer Radio, big congratulations to Ed and San Antonio for putting on the greatest convention of all time. I am the best, most awesome, and greatest. All hail Ed. P.S. Vegas for legalizing marijuana. You know, it's funny, now that I've read that email, people think I'm the biggest heel in the empire. The biggest heel in the empire is Ed.
No.
I mean, by a long shot. Like, I went into this feuding with Filthy Tom Lawler. Now, I'm pretty sure that me, you, Filthy, and Antonio are all going to be teaming up to feud against Ed. I mean, for crying out loud, it's the Vegas convention, and Ed paid for all these girls, and he didn't pay for me, Dave, you, Filthy, or Antonio. Are you kidding me? Who gave this guy a budget?
I don't know.
I hope he lost his ass.
I long ago gave up trying to explain Ed or understand
it's
Ed.
Impossible.
He is just Ed.
I can't believe this one email has got the four of us, the five of us, all on the same page after
this.
All.
Is just the
it's the cherry on the sundae right here.
This is the he just tweeted it out of the convention. Like, this is stuff you would think we uncovered in an expose.
What an idiot.
Yeah.
I got ripped off. You got ripped off. Tom got ripped off. Antonio got ripped off. I'm disgusted now that I think about it. There's going to be some changes next year. Do you hear me? Thank God I got material for Tom tomorrow. Won't be so awkward now. We have a mutual enemy here.
Common ground.
And Ed in San Antonio.
The enemy of my enemy is my friend.
Exactly. You're exactly right.
Yes.
You're exactly right. But anyway, had a great time at the convention.
God damn, the convention was awesome this year.
Yep. It was great
to see. A tremendous convention.
Great to see all the people. It's great to see everybody. I tried to meet everybody. Mm-hmm. Vinny, I think, did as well.
I did my best.
Yep. Had a lot of fun at all the viewing parties. Had a lot of fun at the suite party. I didn't get to make it there the second night. I thought it was moved because at the old conventions, Dave and I were working all the time. Then I got moved to SummerSlam weekend, and I worked the whole time. But of course, as made very, very... I mean, this email paints a very clear picture. It's not about me or Dave or Filthy or Antonio. It's about Ed.
It should just be the Ed and San Antonio convention.
So disgusted by
it. And he will tell you it already is.
So disgusted.
If I wasn't retired before,
I'm retired for sure. Because there's no way I'm working next year, especially for free, on this numbskull show. If he wants a match, he's going to pay... He's going to pay out the ass. Remember that first year that we went there and he found that 95-pound stripper and we had to pay $1,500 because he got so drunk that he was in there for like 3 hours and rang up a bill that he couldn't pay? Do you remember that? I remember that.
I do recall
that. Well,
he's
going to be paying double that if he wants me there working next year. It ain't going to happen. I'm putting the heat on him. Just ridiculous. But anyway, I did have fun at the convention.
Everyone had a great time.
Everyone had a great time. You should all go next year.
You really should.
I mean, none of this affected the people that showed up. Everybody that showed up had a great time.
That's right.
They did have to pay for the show. Just think about it. If you paid for that FSW show that was a turnaway crowd, not one dime went to Filthy or Antonio or me or Dave or anybody.
Or me.
Or Vinny. It's just ridiculous. Anyway. Any other good news? Any other things you want to mention from the convention? What did you karaoke?
Well, we had a suggestion from a local named Chris, who recommended the Moda Cafe, I believe it was called, which is a bar in a strip mall way the hell off the strip, It was a very nice suggestion. He got us a good deal. By the end of the night, I'm pretty sure we had all decided that we'd like to go somewhere a little louder and rowdier and crazier. So though it may be more crowded, I believe the Ellis Island Casino will be our best bet. We had a good time. We sang songs from Greece and songs by Prince, and then the locals took over, and it became the all 70s soft rock karaoke night. Songs by Dan Hill and Anne Murray and other people I didn't know. It was soothing. It was a soothing, relaxing karaoke night.
That sounds exciting.
Yeah.
Sorry I missed that one.
Uh-huh.
Maybe next year. Maybe if I get a payoff, I'll go sing. Now, a lot of people thought there wasn't going to be a show today, but indeed there is. And we are going to continue on unabated here today. Filthy, how
do you do that? Do you play that music so damn loud so that I can't hear what you're saying?
What do you think I said?
Some garbage about me. It's probably some trash, some untruths.
Tom, listen. I know you're mad.
Rightfully so.
I know you're angry. But it was the heat of the moment. And I don't know if you heard last night's show, but I mean, the real villains here, it's not me, Tom. It's Wang. And it's Ed. I gave you a payoff here. Anyway. Is there anything you'd like to say?
Is that the road you want to go down?
Well, yeah, kind of.
Because, yeah, listen, fuck Ed in San Antonio. Fuck the guy. Piece of garbage.
Well, at least we're on the same page about that.
Yeah.
You know, you guys had a good match, Tom.
Yeah, me and Antonio, yeah, I like him.
Yeah. Antonio's he's a pretty good guy.
Yeah.
Friend of the Empire.
Yeah. Friend of mine as well. Ed in San Antonio, not. I can't even say his name. I'm so incensed by the things that he said.
Can you believe it?
Throwing me and Antonio under the bus saying we worked for free. I worked for the enjoyment of the people on this website, and I did it gratefully so. All right. I didn't go out there and demand a payday from this clown, but he's going to go on the air and say that sort of shit that affects my livelihood.
That's right. You're absolutely right, Tom.
So screw him. Yeah, but don't try to put all the blame on him, though. Try to shirk all my intensity towards him, Brian, because I'm not happy with you either.
Well, you know, it's not,
First of all, No. Yes. Just stop. Okay. The story that you've been going around telling about, I had to continue to watch Impact every week for $10. That's not how this went. That's fake news.
No,
if we can go back. You want to go back and dig up the audio? We can go ahead and do so, but don't go around telling people that you're in the right when you're not. Telling Dave, trying to get Dave on your side.
Well, he was on Vinny, my side.
Vinny, that rotund piece of garbage has your back when he doesn't listen to the show either, right? So listening would be Dave's friend and it would be Vinny's friend because then they would get the true story.
Hmm. Well, I mean, we're agreeing to do this show, right?
Yeah, like I said, I'm a professional.
Professional.
I'm here, and much like I was at the convention wrestling for the people, I'm here for the people.
That's right. I appreciate it too, Tom. You know, I don't want to.
I went out there.
I don't want to shift blame.
Listen, No. I risked my health for Vinny's enjoyment, and this is how he's going to repay me? The way that he talked about me, the way that Ed talked about me.
Yeah.
There's like three people that were there that I'm happy with. Dez, you're one of them.
He's a good guy.
Yeah. And the other two, I don't know.
You know.
Definitely not Noel.
What can you tell me about your corner man? Because when I really think about the whole weekend, I mean, if he hadn't been talking shit to Wang, it's possible that Wang wouldn't have jumped the rail. And then none of this would ever happen. So
Wang jumped the shark.
I think that some of this blame should be put on this fellow. What's his name? I don't even know his name.
Drew. Drew Oatkin. He's from Washington. He's an amateur fighter out of Syndicate.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Wang attacked him from behind.
Wang went after him, but Wang, according to Wang...
Wang got him from behind, the only way that he knows how.
He'd been talking shit to Wang, so, you know.
Wang's an idiot. So are you going to listen to him?
I mean, I can't deny that.
Yeah. So think about the source and think about your own actions.
Well, you know, anything else you'd like to say about the convention? It was a fun time, right?
Yeah, I had a good time. It's always great to watch wrestling with people who also enjoy wrestling and don't ridicule you for it. So I had a blast. I always like meeting new members. Thank you. I believe it's Brendan who made sure to know that he purchased me dinner.
That's right.
He forcefully interjected that upon me many times, but I really enjoyed talking to him, getting to know him. He was a newer member that was there. And actually, we share a similar story where we're both pirates of the audio on the website and then liked it so much that we decided we had to give you guys our money.
Man.
And now look, humbling. Here you are years later giving me $10, like shoving it down my throat. You can't even give me one $10 bill. You have to give me two fives.
Well, yeah, you know. I didn't have a 10.
Napoleon complex.
I didn't have a 10. I had two fives.
Unbelievable.
I mean, I could have put one five down. I could have shortchanged you, but I gave you the whole
$10. What? I don't think I'm even going to talk to you the rest of the show. I think I'll talk at you. How about that? That's how disrespected I am by what Brian Alvarez did to me.
Tom, let's just let bygones be bygones. You know, as my last hurrah in this business, got one last good kick in, and all the people enjoyed it, and you got your money. So, like, what's the problem?
Brian Alvarez claims he got one last good kick in, but, I mean, let's be honest, it looked like shit.
Wow. Wow.
But we don't have to let him know that. I mean, all he has to do is watch the tape, and he'll see it himself.
Sure, yeah. Tom, we got to do a show for the people here. You said that you're a professional. I'm a professional. 11. They had Alexa come out, and she was sitting in what they described as her throne, which was a totally the most low-rent lifeguard stand you've ever seen in your life.
It's a lifeguard stand, yeah.
I was like, that's her throne? What was that?
I don't know. That reminds me of a Ric Flair story. So in I'm trying to remember when this was, but I don't remember the show itself, but I would say this is probably maybe 2-3 years ago. So I was in Las Vegas for UFC, and Ric Flair was in Las Vegas doing an autograph signing or something there. So somehow or other, we were talking to each other, and he wanted to go to the UFC, so I called Dana White. It's actually probably at least 3 years ago. This is probably way far back. So I called Dana White, or I think it was Dana White. But it was either that or it was, I called someone who called Dana White. I don't remember if it was directly to Dana or not now that I think about it. But, and it was just like, can we get tickets for Ric Flair to go to the show? And so Ric Flair, or Dana White went to Joe Silva and just goes, Ric Flair wants to come to the show. Where should we sit him? And Joe Silva said that we should build a throne for him and and put him on top of the octagon in a throne hanging from the ceiling. And that's where we should sit him. So they didn't do that. And in fact, to the end of the story is that after all of this, Ric Flair ran into Mongo McMichael and Lawrence Taylor and didn't come to the UFC anyway.
Oh my God.
Yes, he was with them. And I remember he was like, you know, after the show, come out with me and McMichael and Lawrence Taylor. And it's like, I know about those Lawrence Taylor and Steve McMichael nights. And it was like, that's by the time we're out of UFC, it's like 2 a.m. anyway, because I had to do the show with you. So it wasn't happening. But so he didn't come anyway.
That would have been pretty sad if there had just been a throne hanging above the octagon with nobody in it.
Yeah, I know. But as soon as I saw her in the lifeguard chair, I was thinking like, man, that's like the Ric Flair story at the UFC where he was supposed to be, you know, like the king looking down on all the rest of the peasants. So, yeah.